Thank you. Let's go to Proverbs 3:6. Let's go over to Proverbs 3:6. Title of the message is "It's No Coincidence." Okay. Proverbs 3:6. Tell me when you get there. Okay, you're there. All right. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Here's another version. Become intimate with him in whatever you do, and he will lead you wherever you go. Mm-hmm. Praise God. That's good, isn't it? Yes. You know, Sunday we started talking about thinking and living differently. And we're looking for life-changing encounters, if you will. We are looking to transform our lives all of the time. Not conform to something, but transform our lives. And these encounters should move our spirit to this ever-increasing intimacy with God. The more encounters we have with the Lord, the more intimacy, the closer we get to, just like you would with a person. The more encounters you have with them, the closer you're going to get to them. And so we've been talking about miracles, manifestations, harvests, and God winks. And so what is a God wink? Well, I've been telling you what I believe a God wink is, so I'm going to actually read you a definition of a God wink. An event or personal experience, often identified as coincidence, so astonishing that is seen as a sign of divine intervention, especially when perceived as the answer to a prayer. Isn't that good? So, you know, you have miracles in your life. You have manifestations in your life. And then that God wink seems to be something that just kind of comes along and he's kind of tipping his hat to you. Just, hey. It's just kind of a love, if you will. You know what I mean by that. So, and we talked about miracles being our tutor. We should, we said we could study the encounters, the manifestations, the harvests, the God winks, that we could study them, we could testify of them, and they could become faith extenders. They wouldn't become, they wouldn't create or bring faith, but they'd be faith extenders because faith cometh by hearing the word. Okay. So, but we said that these things would help us in our life. Miracles becoming something that we would study and we would look at and see how we fit into it. And we see that the disciples actually missed that day when Jesus handed out the 5,000, to feed the 5,000, he handed out 12, little dinners to the disciples. It was actually in their hands. They were actually part of the miracle, but they actually missed really what was going on. They didn't pick it up. And so when they left there, they got in a storm in a boat and they had no solution. They didn't know what to do. And the Bible says because they didn't really perceive and understand what happened at the feeding of the 5,000. So in other words, they didn't let that miracle tutor them. They didn't let it teach them something. Well, let's just say, what would it have taught them? That they have power in their hands. Amen. That they could have said something out there. Amen. Amen. So we need to do our part. And because, church, it's not just, hey, thanks, Jesus, you did another miracle. Got over that. I hope you're there for the next one. That's not really the way to live your life, is it? And you know, I know during COVID and the rise of socialism, you know, we've seen ourselves as probably like, and we've seen the preachers tell us these things, kind of like Israel being delivered from Egypt, right? Kind of felt that we're going to get out of this bondage and go to our own place. But really and truly, we need to see the nation like that, not us, because we've already been delivered. We should see ourselves as Canaan land, as going into the promised land, or having the promised land, and going in there and enjoying our conquest, both spiritually and physically, because these are the days when we actually overcome, we actually have success. And so these are the days when we would drive out the foe and destroy the idols and move into the places that God has for us. I'm going to read you Joshua 1:2. It says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, that I have given you, as I said unto Moses. Now, here's verse 5. We'll skip a verse, go to verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Now, I like that verse right there. Nobody's going to get in your way. Okay. Now, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee, and I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto thy fathers to give them. So I think that's more where we are as the ecclesia. We are already in that place. And so Israel, what'd they do? They took Jericho, they took Ai, they made a covenant with Gibeon, they took the north, southern and the northern kingdoms there. And the picture I want you to understand about these things, well, let me just say this first, just for Sidon. I'll just add this on for you. When they were actually crossing the Jordan, right before they crossed the Jordan, the Lord said this to them, I brought you out of Egypt, now let me get Egypt out of you. So it's important, when we were born again, we've already been brought out of the bondage. But bondage can remain in you for all your life if you want it to. You just have to know how to get delivered from that. And so he actually cleared out the reproach from them. And of course, you know the things that went on. They were circumcised, things like that. And they came into a covenant with God. And they go into this land and they start winning. They had a little setback because someone took the tithe. But right after that, everything got fixed. They started winning again. And I want you to know that when they went into Canaan, that place was fairly laid out. It wasn't just woods and wasn't just the forest. I mean, the cities were laid out. It had a good design. Architecture was good. They had a drainage system going in those days. They had skilled workers, all kinds of stuff. They had extensive trade going on with foreign countries. So Canaan was doing well. So for them to come in there and take that over, you could just say the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. I mean, they move forward into what God had for them. And so whatever the devil tries to possess that belongs to you, you're taking it back. Amen. So now, the point here that I want to get to, I want you to see yourself more in that position than just, oh, man. And I mean, there's news every day where we're just talking about how what's going on in Canada with the churches and stuff and all the oppression that's going on here. And I like what one of the guys said on Flashpoint. It might have been Mario. It might have been one of the others, but he made the comment. He said, we can either be the church that goes underground or we can be the church that says no. Amen. And so we're going to have to say no. Amen. Because this is our country. Amen. Amen. And that and the country can be delivered from the bondage, the people that are in that. Now, if you think back, they're having victories and successes. And one of the things that Israel has always done is they'll go back and talk about their successes. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and the rider thrown into the sea. When they covered up the Egyptians, when God covered them up with the water, Miriam went to sing, and she created a song about their victory. And so they rehearsed the victories. Are you with me? They're rehearsing the victories. They're thinking about the victories. They're not thinking about what didn't go right. You need to have a board meeting with yourself and think of all the things that have gone right instead of all the things that have gone wrong. So it's a little slim in here tonight, a little thinner than usual. I guess people have something they have to do tonight. But we're going to rejoice with those that are here. And those that want to hear the word tonight, and we know that everybody's out doing whatever they need to do tonight, but you don't drive off going, where was everybody? You know, and going, you know, praise the Lord. It's some days are like that. So, and your same thing with your bank account. Well, what happened? No, think about all the good times. Amen. So what we see here is they're rehearsing their victories, and I just want that to stick in your mind, because we need to rehearse and study what God has done for us, and it will build momentum for one thing, but even more Importantly, it will bring intimacy with the Father when you really realize just how much He's done for you. Now, I do want to remind you that the word coincidence, it doesn't exist in Hebrew. There is no coincidence. That comes from Western thinking. And we actually live in a cause and an effect world. People make choices. Sometimes people make choices and they affect you. Sometimes you make choices and they affect other people, they affect your life. But basically, you live in cause and effect, excuse me. Words and decisions will build your path. Words and decisions are going to build your path. If you're going to catch the flu, you're going to catch the flu. You're going to talk it until it comes to you. If you're going to, we know this, we're word people. This is what we believe. The Bible says that you're going to have what you say. You're going to have what you say. And then again, if you talk, oh, gosh, I've heard people give their, quote, testimony. And it's 30 minutes of all the negative, and then they say, and then Jesus saved me. And you're like, going, okay. You know, it'd be better to say, yeah, I was a mess, and now, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. That'd be the better way to do it. Amen. So I think this is where we need to go. And God sets up, one thing that I want you to think about this is that God sets up divine appointments that work with your choices. So your life is, your path is going to go according to the choice, according to what you say, and then it's also going to line up with the divine appointment, the people that God puts in your life. Remember what I told you, you're always looking for two things about your future. You're going to spy out the land, and you're going to pray for divine appointments. Because that's where favor comes from. That's, you have to have met somebody, usually, to change your life. For instance, today, Deb came home. She'd been at Lowe's. She actually, they were so kind to her in there, she went back in to tell the manager how great they did her today. And so what does he say? We're looking for 20 people right now. If you know anybody that needs a job, we'll hire them on the spot. And so that's a divine appointment. We'll pass that around in the church. Deb said, we got good people. If anybody needs a job, we'll send them your way. Okay. So now what does that do? Let's think about that. Certainly there's that job at Lowe's, but it also shows there's an opening.
Right. Yeah.
There's a spiritual opening flowing because things will start happening. It gets trafficky. Things will happen altogether. I'm going to say something about that in a minute that I think you're really going to like. So, you know, we said Sunday that miracles can be impressive, they can be outstanding, they can be dazzling, but they're not really created to dazzle us. They're given to us to train us to see differently. We see differently. We then start living from one mountaintop to the next mountaintop instead of, okay, now's the valley. I hope I have another mountaintop sometime. But you start living from mountaintop to mountaintop instead of, you start living straight across. Amen. You start having, momentum starts happening. So they're given to train us so we can see differently. A miracle is school. You need to stop and look at it. See what it's all about. That burning bush. Yeah, look at there, burning bush. Isn't God good? No, He goes over there. Yeah. He looks at it. A prophetic word is like a burning bush. You need to go talk to God about it. Amen. Think of it this way. Just like I told you on Sunday, it's like nutrients. There are nutrients coming off of that miracle. There's nutrients coming off of that God wink. There's miracles coming off your harvest. I mean, nutrients. And what they're doing is they're helping establish you to move to the next place. Well, yeah, and what's that doing? You're doing this. Wow, God is good. Wow, God is good. Minnie Pearl came home. Just thank God is with. God must really love me. 7 billion people on the planet, and my dog came home. I mean, think about that. Amen? Yeah. So, and you move to the next, you move, and you're ready knowing that God is going to be there for the next thing. So, we need to see the lessons that are intertwined in these supernatural interventions, these God winks. When He intervenes, pick up the whole thing that's going on. Spend a little time with it. Amen. Are you listening to me tonight? Praise the Lord. So let me say this to you, church. It would be good to chart your God winks and your encounters for a little while. Get an extra little book and make some notes, and you'd be surprised. In fact, I might stay on this for a couple more times and talk to you about these things, see if I can to get you to start thinking this way. Because if you'll do this, you're going to find out that you're never alone. You're on this radar screen. And there's this guidance system that's working with you. And when you start seeing all these little things that he's doing, it's going to make you so aware of what God is doing. Like I said, 7 billion people on the planet, and God's talking to you. God's ministering to you. God's communicating with you. That's big. And I also want to say this to you. If you will go back, not just from this moment on, but if you'll go back and chart out all the God winks and all the miracles and the harvest and the manifestations, you're going to discover a supernatural pattern. Brother Hagin used to tell us that God works with us in patterns. And if you'll go back and look, you'll see that the way God dealt with you was in a certain way, a certain way. And you'll begin to, you can kind of get a glimpse of your future that way and how he will work with you. Amen? So, another thing I want to point out, and this is really important, is that when you have a turning point, let's say it like that, when you have a turning point in your life, there will be an increase. If things are changing, there's going to be an increase in the God winks, the miracles, the harvest. Become aware of that. When things are turning, when things are changing, he'll be there for you. Amen. He'll be there for you, and you're going to see an increase in the frequency. I want to say something to you, but I want to say something else to you first. Just for the sake of the recording, I'm preaching to the choir tonight, obviously, but I want to say something to you. God kills no one. God doesn't make anybody sick. God doesn't take things away. He's the gift giver, according to James. The devil steals, kills, and destroys. However, I do want to say this to you. At turning points in your life, when you lose someone you love, let's say someone passes, or you have a job loss, or anything like that, God can take those things, and he can actually turn them to good by putting your life in a new direction. Amen. Now, you just think about widows. Think about someone who's lived with their husband for all these years, and he would go to heaven. Like Miss Ann has, and somebody else we know recently. I can't think of who it is right now. But their life, they had choices to make. And there should, right there at that loss, are let's say this, children losing their parents. 30-year-old children losing their parents. 40-year-old people. It's a time when things change when your parents go to heaven. Am I right? There's things that happen right there. And so if you'll be aware, you'll see that God will begin to do something right then. There'll be something increased right then to try to nudge you down the right path so that you don't get messed up and go the wrong way. God's so good. So he's going to turn your evil for good. And I think it would be good to kind of like do an archaeological type of dig into the history of your life, of these God winks that maybe you forgot about. Maybe you need to get your notebook out and think about, well, you remember? And when I was writing this message, all of a sudden, I started remembering things. I started remembering some things that God had done for me. And I started thinking about some of the divine appointments that I'd been involved in. So start back in those days. Even start back in those days when you were a little kid and you said those crazy things like, well, I'm going to be a fireman and a dentist. Or, you know, you said things like that. I didn't say that. But you've heard kids say that. I think Carter may have said that. But all he knows is for sure is that he's an Aggie. Now, and Jordan went, whoop, whoop. But you start thinking about these little things that happened to you when you were young and what you were drawn to. And how old were you when they happened? I can remember. I don't know if Sissy even realizes this, but I can remember being at the Baptist church, and when no one was looking, I went up and got behind the pulpit. I could barely stand at it, and I thought, I wonder, you remember that? I was like, I wonder what it would be like to be the preacher, you know? Of course, they told us we couldn't, so that put me off for a while. But God came back and rescued. But you know, you did those kind of things. You know, did some events take place in your life, or some persons ignite your interest for your career, or any interest that you have, or your calling? Did someone ignite you for that? Or something you saw, did that awaken you to want to do something? Go back and think about those things. You might see how quickly your story will fill in. I think about Pastor John and his guitar playing. The story you all know. He was picking the guitar, and then the guitar. And he was picking, and then he goes to this outdoor meeting, and one man says, son, you have perfect rhythm. And how many guitar players have been birthed out of John Holler?
Yeah.
It's just amazing. But that happened to him. And then I had a God wink from him with the name circled.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go back and think about these God winks and these events, How did you make your first step into that interest? Why did you pick up that guitar? Why did you play those drums? Why did you pick up? How did you decide you were going to talk on the radio? You know, what did that? What made you want to live on a ranch? You know, what all these things? What made you want to do what you've done? Just go back and think about them, and think about how God got you to this place. You know, it's no secret to any of you that I love travel. You've heard me talk about it over and over, and one of these days I'm going to sing I've Been Everywhere, Man, and because I'm going everywhere. That's my plan in life. And I just love travel, and so I'm not finished. Where did I get that? Where did that come from? Because we lived in a home where we went to Six Flags once when I was growing up. We didn't go anywhere. My mom was ill and when I was a kid, so I didn't travel much. But somehow somebody planted a seed in me, and I'll tell you who it was. It was my sister-in-law, Linda. Linda and my brother lived in Ethiopia, and she would tell me stories about living in Africa and tell me stories about how they went through Greece and what Greece looked like and what Europe was all about. And man, I would just eat it up. I'd just be eating it up. Man, I want to see these places. I've got to see these places. I can remember there's a place in Wimberley called Blue Hole. Y'all remember it?
Oh, yeah.
We used to play music down there in the gospel music festival they'd have down there. But before that, we were little kids, and they called it Blue Hole because your lips were blue the whole time. Because the water was so cold. I'd sit out on the bench and listen to Linda talk about travel. Everybody's swimming. I'm listening to travel. I want to know about travel. And so I got that. And then I can remember just doing all that. It just made me hungry. Did something ever make you hungry to want to do something? Yeah, I mean, this is excessively a big deal to me. I call it the university of life to be a traveler. I think it's the greatest thing. But the thing about it is I didn't know then that I needed to be rooted and grounded in the local church. So that took priority in my life, so travel will just have to fill in, because we need to be rooted and grounded in the church. Nothing wrong with travel, but we need to have a home church. Amen. So, travel fills in the right spots. Now, I got some travel winks over the years, and I'll tell you how. Deb and I actually were going to go to the Caribbean, and we went into a travel agency. And the lady said, well, I think we're going to Jamaica or somewhere. And the lady says, you don't want to go to Jamaica. You want to go to Aruba. Of course, she's selling Aruba. Get it? And we're like, okay, let's just go there. And it was great. We went. But one interesting thing happened. We bought our tickets there. We went there. It was just a couple of months when we got back that we were working at that travel agency. And then, lo and behold, our boss takes us through travel school. So then we went to travel agent school. We know how to do a ticket by hand. And, I mean, you had to learn it the hard way. And then what happens? She decides to move to Morocco. And guess who she left in charge of the travel agency? Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
It is.
Now, there are some winks. Because when you work at a travel agency, they're called fam trips. You get all these discounts. Where's Josh? Josh probably knows about that at the airlines. I mean, you get to go for 75%, not cents, off. You get to go cheap. We went to Jamaica for $59 or something. We took 150 and came home with 100, something like that, and stayed at the Sandals with all the other travel agents. I mean, you just get all these perks. Thank you, Jesus. But he started that with me when I was a kid, and then he winked all the way. And that wasn't the end. Somebody actually paid for me and Deb to go to Israel.
That's right.
And it just continues. God, I can always use my faith and get money to travel. Always. It'll just come in. I'm like, we're going somewhere. Okay, we got the money. We're going. It's just so easy. But God has done that in my life. And so God's going to bring you those kind of things. And I think that we just need to not interpret these winks as coincidence. Pay attention to what God is doing in your everyday life. Turning points are going to trigger this. They're going to trigger the winks. Prayer will trigger the winks. But here's the thing. Just like a wink, they have a fleeting nature. They slip in and out in a blink. The wink slips in and out in a blink. You get that? So write them down, because you'll forget them. Write them down and watch how they connect to the next thing. They're going to connect you to the next thing or the next people. Church, divine appointments are so important. These are so important. This is what God is doing, will do in your life with miracles, manifestations, encounters. And I think we really need to dig a little further in this. But for now, let me just say this. You are under the influence of the greatest GPS that exists, the God positioning system. He's positioning you right now. And you receive these little nudges every day to keep you on the chosen path. Amen. Also, if you'll track your God winks in your past, you're going to see this astonishing, lucid account of your life. And it'll provide clarity for you so that you can see how great the possibilities really are. Well, if he did this, won't he do this? He just does this out of love, y'all. It's just out of love because he expects faith. But what does he do? Come along and give you this little stamp of approval. He comes along and gives you, yep, yeah, you can do this. Okay, God, we're believing for this. I believe I've received this much money. Da, 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 da. I'm pretty sure this is what you want me to do. Blip, here comes the money. And you're like, well, look at there. That's God. Yeah, we're in. He just let you know. I will provide for you in this move you're making. Mm-hmm. I will provide for you in it. And so that's just a wonderful thing. He's always trying to communicate hesed to you. Yeah. How much he loves you. This moving love. This love that's trying to get to you all the time. He's always trying to do that. And he'll do the cutest things if you'll let him. Yeah. He'll treat you like a little kid and do these wonderful things. And all you have to do is just have faith in God, write them down, look at them. And I'm telling you, if you right now you're at this place where you need for something to change, start rehearsing. Hey, remember back when we wanted to get that property? We wanted to live in the house on the lake with the boat and sea-doo? Yeah. And we did. Yeah. Remember when we wanted to live in the house with the 38 windows? And we did. Yeah. Remember when we didn't want to live, we worked in the city, but we didn't want to be surrounded, so God gave us a 22-acre ranch in the middle of Austin? Mm-hmm. Remember when we won the, yeah, the Chisholm Turf, what was it called? Chisholm, no. Yeah, that's right. It was right over there on Stassney in Texas, yeah. Oh, the Goodnight Ranch, yeah. I mean, you think about it. Start remembering all those things. Amen. Start remembering what he did. Start thinking about what he did. Yes. Like, yeah, well, I've just had a hard time. Well, put those away and start remembering what all he's done. Amen. And all the divine appointment. He said he has another divine appointment that could show up before the night's over. You could get a phone call before the night is over. And he'll just be real sweet about some things. I told you that I keep some money in my purse and I give it away to the birthday people and the kids and, you know, the kids that are running in there trying to get donuts and everything, you know, whatever. And I want to give people stuff. And so it was going down here a little bit. And I said, now, Lord, I've been giving away a lot of money lately. I said, I'd like to have some cash back. And I didn't think about it. Usually I get a check or something. But several weeks in a row, cash has just come to me. And it's come in the form of cash. Now, that's a wink. Wasn't a check. He totally winked at, there's that cash. The Lord loves me. See, he loves you. You need to get that sense about you that you're like, man, God loves me. Man, God loves me. I'm his favorite kid. Me and Jerry Savelle. Praise the Lord. So, you will have clarity for the road ahead if you remember the good things. Remember the good things. And then something I want to move into is this. You can harness the power of these encounters, and they'll enrich your future and strengthen your convictions that you're on the right life path. If you'll glean from them, if you'll pull the juice out of them, you'll know that you're, y'all with me? Yes. You'll know that you'll go, yeah, this is just another confirmation that I'm doing what's right. Glory to God. He'll let you know. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. They do happen as answered prayer. And I know that we've lived our lives going, well, God answered that. Praise God, God answered that. But take it a little further. Take it a little further in your meditation time. Man, he was really doing this. He was really giving me a hug. He was really doing a face-to-face with me about that. Because there's things that happen and you're just like, what? I mean, that red paperclip story? Where I ended up walking out with $10,000 that confirmed that we should buy that property. Mm-hmm. You think about that? God had to move. There was a divine appointment with me and another person. There was a move of God right there. And then that other person is breaking forth all over the place. Yeah. But you just think about that. You think about the divine appointment with this building. How we think about Bonnie. We met Bonnie over at the feed store looking at that building. She loved us so much. She stuck to us like glue. You and me, baby, we stuck like glue. Anyway, so you move over into, we're looking around and then Peter shows up. We meet him. He comes in, tells us what he wants. We can't do it. Walks out to the car, puts his hand on the door, turns around, walks back in, and makes us a deal we can't refuse. Then what happens? We get another God wink because God paid half of the building off in a day. And now we're fast approaching the payoff. Fast.
Yeah.
We're doing God's will. You can't tell me we're not doing God's will.
Yeah.
It's happening.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. We have more stuff going on than we've ever had going on. If you want to call them programs, ministries, whatever. We have a whole lot more going on than we've ever had going on. I mean, we're winning.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for it, Lord. You're winning. You have things going on. God's going to show up. Now, just remember, just one more thing I want to say before we go. A few things I want to say. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. By the word of God, the anointed word of God preached. The word. This word is the only source of faith. The God winks aren't. Because this is supernatural.
Yeah.
But the God winks, the harvest, the manifestations are a result of this.
Yeah.
And they extend, they're your victory. And they extend your faith out that you continue to walk on the water to the next one.
Yeah.
You with me?
Yeah.
I want to make sure you know that I'm being scriptural.
Mm-hmm.
Because I am absolutely convinced you can't pray to have faith. You can't receive it anyway, except there's a measure in you that keeps getting pumped up by this word. And I'm telling you, you can have a miracle tomorrow and 10 days later not have a solution. Or, no, let me change that. You can have a miracle tomorrow and by tomorrow night be out on the boat in a storm and not have a solution. Because you have to believe him. You have to believe him. But you get momentum going. You get this momentum going. And you remember, he did this for me. Didn't they do that? Jericho, okay, we had a little flaw in Battle of Ai. It was a little trouble. But then here they went in, and they made the deal with Gibeon. They went in, the southern, the northern. They began to take ground. They began to take ground. Can I tell you, you're taking ground?
Yes.
You're taking ground right now. You're changing on the inside. You're being transformed on the inside. It's showing up on the outside. Angelic forces are helping you right now. God winks are coming your way. There are people, divine appointments that are lining up to know you. And you are a divine appointment for somebody. Chris had a divine appointment with a friend of his. Met a friend who needed some help. Prayed for the guy, didn't even pray out loud with the guy, just prayed for the guy to get a job, and within a couple of minutes, somebody pulls up and the guy gets a job. He was there, that guy's divine appointment. He won't leave you out there unless you stay out there. You can stay out there all by yourself if you want to, but that's not God's plan. God's plan is people.
That's right.
Amen.
Well, that's good.
Well, nobody loves me. Well, whose fault is that? Well, I don't have any friends. Nobody pays attention to me. Well, have you been friendly? Have you reached out to other people? Well, there's not one single person who helped me through that. Well, who did you help? And better than that, when it comes to this church, did you call anybody to help you? Because they would come whether you ever helped them or not. Just the kind of people that live around here.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to get over those things. Well, you know, I've been in this job for 15 years, and I'll just talk like flesh, okay? Can I do that? I'm sick of it. I'm just sick of it. Well, leave. You're harming your boss.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't harm people and do a job that you hate. That is ungodly. You're just doing it for the money, you're in the wrong place. And until you get in the right place, you're not gonna see these triggers. God's trying to nudge you right now by a divine appointment, by the mama standing up here telling you, you need to get out if you hate it.
Amen.
There you go.
See, oh, you mean this is a divine appointment tonight? Yes. Yes, it is. If you don't like what you're doing, now don't quit your job and make your family be hungry, but start looking and start watching for those nudges and start making plans to do something else. Go back and look at all the God winks. What got stirred up in you? What works in you? What do you want to do? And let God build something on that. Is this good enough?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. I'd say I don't mean to get on you, but God seems to do that. Because the complaining cycle will never work. It keeps you there. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but amen. I'm going to ask you some questions here before we close so you can, I'm going to kick you into thinking here, okay? All right. Now, shake up your memory. Did something surprising happen to you sometime in your past? Think about it. What happened to me that was surprisingly good? Can you think about it? Are you going, no, nothing? I'm going to spank you. No, I'm just kidding. Can you think of something? What surprisingly happened that you went, Jesus, thank you, Lord. Some of y'all's faces look like nothing ever happened to you. All right. Did you gain something unexpected? Have you ever gained something unexpected? Maybe through inheritance or a windfall? Have you ever gotten something? Did someone ever give you something? Did someone ever? Well, you must have something big. You're grinning big. Did you gain something you didn't expect to get? Gosh, I could give you a list. Amen. You gained something. Did good fortune come to you at the exact right moment that you were needing a financial situation? You were heading it into one, and God proved himself faithful.
Oh, yeah.
Did that ever happen to you?
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever had a new person come into your life?
Mm-hmm.
That could be a turning point right there.
Mm-hmm.
Did someone change the way you look at life, perhaps how you looked at your faith?
Yep.
Did you ever meet someone who changed your faith? Who taught you what real faith was?
Yeah.
Remember how I told you how things that happened in your life would trigger things and cause more reaction? Think about when my mama died, and I'd had enough of everything. It was a holy nightmare in our lives. And I went upstairs and prayed, and the Lord told me, you know how to pray in tongues. And I remembered that I did, and I prayed in tongues. And it wasn't 2 or 3 days that I found Kenneth. That was a divine appointment. I mean, we stood up in front of the television. I'll never forget it. We both stood there.
Yeah.
What? God is good? Well, what? And those still blue eyes coming out of that TV. We were sold right there. And then we found the Hagin books. Divine appointment. Deb's sister had every one of them on her shelf. We went to babysit. Divine appointment. I'm reading the books. My religious was getting madder and madder. And I was riding home on the plane, and God said, hey, he's right and you're wrong. And I went, yes, sir. And there's that understanding without completely.
Yeah.
I didn't care. And I went, he says it's right. I know that was God talking to me. It's right. And boom, that opened the door, and revelation ran in from that day forward. Those are God winks, divine appointments.
Yeah.
All I did was pray. I'd had enough. And here came God. Just as faithful as could be, sent me my Father and the Lord, just as faithful as could be, locked it in. And then when I went into the ministry, he sent me my pastor right there, locked it in so that I could move forward, so he could raise me up and how I could go. And then we built a church, and then he sent me you.
Yep.
He sent me you, Ronnie.
Yeah.
He sent you to me so that we could do something together for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And all the rest of them. And he sent us people that have come and gone. But what happened? We sowed seeds in their life. We've ministered over 20 to 25,000 people a year. Since the day Bill showed up, Bill and Gay back then, Ron and Pauline, Gladys and Eldred, all those people showed up. We were ministering, Ron was ministering way up in the numbers in the prisons.
Yeah, 5,000 to 6,000.
God sent me wrong. We got sent put together on purpose. God sent Virginia. She didn't know nothing about no women preachers. She came from them old churches and said no. But she's never left me. She's my family. Her kids are my God kids. You just think about how many interventions have happened in your life. How many times God has intervened. How many times? He brought Patty, who brought Jesse, and you can go down the line. Praise the Lord. They brought other people. Some of them are still with us. Some of them aren't. Doesn't matter. We sowed the seed and we have good friends out there. God is good. But man, I tell you, it was so quick. See, right now, Jordan, there's a new path. Both of your parents are in heaven, so there's a new path. I'm not telling you to go find a new job. I'm just telling you there's new things on the horizon. God will be quickening those things to you. He'll be giving you a whole lot of nudges right now. I can remember dreams and all sorts of stuff when someone's left me. And if you'll get on the heaven side, you'll see a whole lot of heavenly things instead of getting all crippled about people dying. Doesn't mean you don't cry and that you don't get sad and you don't miss them. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about it crippling your life so that you can't minister to other people. You don't have to go there. We are not a people without hope. And God will just nudge you all the way through. One of our dogs, Boone, can nudge you to get whatever he wants. The cats do that. Ryan's going... They'll come up and pick up your hand and pet me. You will pet me now. Well, God's doing better than that. He's pushing you down the trail. Amen. He's saying, look here what I'll do for you. Look at this. Look at that. I can move these things. Come on. Get up out of your misery. Get up out of, we can't. There's no breakthrough. You get the breakthrough in here first. Right. It'll happen out here. Go back and pull up these miracles that happened to you. Find them. Look at them. Listen to this scripture and we'll quit. Well, I'm going to tell you this. Tonight, here's your homework. Remember when you got a big break. Think about a time when you got a big break. It'll come to you. Ask the Lord and he'll tell you, remember? Remember when such and such and this and that? Man, you got a good break on that. This happened to you. Remember when the big tractor came? Yep. Mm-hmm. Remember when this happened? Remember when that happened? And if you can't think of one thing, you tell me Sunday, we're going to cast that devil out of you and you're not just kidding. I'm absolutely sure that you've gotten a big break sometime in your life. I'm absolutely sure. Or you wouldn't be sitting in this church. I absolutely believe that. Write down Jeremiah 6:16, and I'll read it to you, and you're going to want to look at this, look at part A of it. This is what the Lord said to them. He said, this is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask which paths are the old reliable paths. Ask which way leads to blessings. Live that way and find a resting place for yourselves. I'm going to read it again. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Look. Look what God has done. He healed my body. He healed my mind. Ask which paths are the old reliable paths. Well, what would that be? The old reliable paths. What has he done? Ask which way leads to blessings. Live that way and find a resting place for yourselves. Amen.